once again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. I wish you the greatest of blessings today. What a joy it is to serve the Lord Jesus and to be in his presence. Now, for the next two or three broadcasts, I'd like to talk to you about the thing called prayer. Most amazing thing, prayer avails a great deal. It's better that we sit and pray than we sometimes get all agitated and worked up about things. I have learned over the years that the best thing to do is to go into a room and the Lord Jesus that sees you in private, pouring your heart out to him, will reward you openly and give you great blessing. When I looked at this subject of getting into prayer, I was concerned about many things, and in Colossians, the little letter that Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, in chapter 4 and verse 2, he says, devote yourselves to prayer. Now, that's a modern version of continue in prayer. He says, devote yourselves in prayer. Bring yourself to the place where you devote. And he goes on and saying, as you devote yourself to prayer, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in prison or in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. And then he goes on and talks to the Colossian church, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Now, some of us don't care for the seasoning of salt, and so there is a serious problem. Another thing that I have discovered in reading different autobiographies and biographies, I've discovered people, for instance, like Hudson Taylor, who was a missionary to the Chinese in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And this man was a man of prayer. He went to prayer often simply because he had so much to pray for. And one of the things that you and I have a great deal to pray for, not just our family and not just the people that are immediately affected by us, but people that are involved in the gospel and involved in the things of God, we should be involved in prayer with them. We use the expression, will you partner with me in prayer? Missionaries don't like to say, well, we're asking for money, so they ask, will you partnership with us? That's okay, I guess. It's just a change of wording so that they don't seem to be begging for money. I'm in that same boat. I don't believe that we should invite people to send us money, but money does grease the wheel that goes round that carries the burden of life. We need to understand the word devote. And I like the newer translation in this particular way because we use the word devote, and it means to consecrate, dedicate, to give up exclusively to give over to. And if you put those things into the context here, the prayer of a devoted person avails a great deal. And it's a necessary thing that we get ourselves into the place where we pray. The prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Make sure you pray. Now, here's one reason why we need to spend time in prayer and why the time of devotion is necessary. You see, if I'm devoted, I have to give of my own self. I have to set apart portions of my life. Hudson Taylor started getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning and praying, but he found that he had so much to pray for and so many to pray about that he had to get up at 5 o'clock. 4 o'clock. And I think I'm right in saying that in one biography I read, he got up around 3 o'clock in the morning. No matter what time he went to bed, he got up at 3 so that he had the time to pray. All of us live very busy lives, and there are demands upon us. Our wives demand some time, our children demand time, our business and workplace demands time. Our church demands time. And people are, for the most part, takers. There are not too many givers. People that are prepared to give their lives are a special brand of people. But there are so many people prepared not to give, but to take. For instance, I've heard this many, many times over the years of ministry, where people have come and talked to me about their pastor. And I let people know, before they get very far in this sort of conversation, that I'm in great favor of their pastor. And I am his champion, and I don't want to hear a lot of silly nonsense about him, because I will favor him in any discussion. Not because he's right, but because he is called of God to be the pastor of the church in which they're fellowshipping. But here's what I often hear. He doesn't preach the word. We don't like the way he says this, that, and the other. We don't care for the way he conducts himself. Now, these are criticisms. And yet the people giving those criticisms seem to think that they have really arrived themselves and are capable of such criticism. Jesus talked to people like this. They are the modern scribe, the modern Pharisee, and the modern Sadducee, the modern critic, the hierarchy of the religious order. They seem to think they belong there. And they seem to think that they should say and allow to ferment in their mind such thoughts. However, Jesus said this, "When you have no splinter in your eye, then you can look at the dust in the other man's eye." So many people are blinded, and this is the more up-to-date translation, they're blinded by the plank that is in their eye, and so when they think they see a splinter in another man's eye, they find that they haven't a steady hand to remove it. So there are logical solutions. Get rid of the pastor is the first and the most prominent one. And it's very prominent in the day in which we live. And in the churches, the experience in lots of churches is, let's change the scene. Let's get something else going. And we think we're right. Actually, I think we're very dangerously walking a very fine line and could be slipping over it. You see, there is a time for prayer. If you go to church, are you taking or are you giving? I'm not talking about money. I'm asking you, are you prepared to give? I don't understand why Christians can't meet for prayer to pray that the preaching next Sunday will be so convicting to the congregation that the congregation will change its mind and turn more and more to the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't understand why the people that seem to see all the splinters in all the people's eyes and all the deficiencies that there are in the congregation, I can't understand for the life of me why they don't go to prayer at least for a day, a week, to make sure that their eyes are focused only upon the Lord Jesus, and that the blessing of the presence of the Lord Jesus will be upon all the rest of the congregation, so that the criticism will go out of their hearts. You ever thought of that? Let me show you another thing that I think we should be praying for. I was watching a little fellow of 9 years old play his second game of soccer. And as he was playing, a bigger fellow, who I later discovered was 13 and still knew no more of the rules of soccer than the 9-year-old, who had been playing for several years on and off the game of soccer, in English it's football, and he tripped this little boy. And the little boy went over and rolled across his shoulders and back on his feet and picked up the ball. And all he knew about soccer was that he had to get the ball and put it through the goal posts. when he got up from this tumble that he had been tripped into by the older boy, he saw that the ball was with the older boy, and he went right over to him and plunged himself in front of the fellow, between the fellow and the ball, took the ball away and scored a goal. Minutes later, he was tumbled again by a different fellow who was quite burly compared to this little chap. The next thing that happened was he saw that the burly fellow had the ball, and he put himself between the ball and the burly fellow, grabbed the ball with his feet and dribbled it down the field and scored a second goal. And people that were watching said, "Well, that kid's a natural." I must confess I was popping a couple of buttons on my shirt because it was my grandson. Now, I'm sure I shouldn't say things like this, but the only two goals that were scored that day against a school that was superior to the school he was playing for were scored by him. It was his second game in soccer, and all he knew about soccer was, "I got to get the ball and get it between the goalposts." But what I want to tell you is, when he was tripped and shoved, he fell down. He rolled over and got up. Now, many, many Christians get tripped up. They fall down, they roll, and they come back up, and they seem to put whatever it is that the sin causing them to trip up was, they seem to put it to one side, and they carry on with the Christian game. And I tell you that story because I hope it's caught your imagination for a moment, and you can see how easy it is that we can sin and roll and get back on our feet with our own ability and even score a goal, but we don't have to deal with the sin. A friend of mine, an evangelist, a godly man, a singer, a great fellow, fell down some stairs and broke two wrists. Both his wrists were broken cleanly, and both his wrists were put into plaster, and he could not drive. Well, this was the busiest time in the year for him, with meetings all over the place, and so his wife took up to driving him, and different friends drove him here, there, and everywhere. And for about 2 months, he had no ability to use his hands and arms. He was in a bit of a fix. He fell down the stairs and was really smashed. And some people sin like that. They fall and we look around and we say, "Oh my, look what happened. Why, that person has really blown it. That person really is, oh, sinned." And they don't roll, get up and carry on. They flounder around trying to do what they've always done because that's all they know. And so they need prayer. Now, whether you trip up, get up on your feet and carry on, or you fall down the stairs and you have to have help and you have to get back into the swing of things later on, whatever the sinful thing is in your life, you need prayer. And the apostle says, "I want you to devote yourself to prayer, give yourself to prayer, and pray for one another." Now, often we say to people, "Oh yeah, I'll pray for you." But when I say to a person, "I pray for you every day," or "I pray for you most days," "I pray for you often," I'm telling the truth. And I really bring into subjection my mouth in this regard, because I don't want to say to a person, "I'm praying for you," and give them the false hope that someone really cares enough to pray for them, when I don't pray. And many Christians are guilty of that one thing. Now, I was guilty of it at one time in my life. I would often say to people, "I'll be praying for you," and then I completely forget all about them. But I can say today that most of the time, I really do pray for the people I tell them I'll pray for. When I speak with people this way, I mean exactly what is being said. If you look at verse 12 of Colossians 4, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers." Laboring, or striving is the word. Striving for you in prayers. Do you know why there are not people being saved in your church? Nobody's pregnant. They're not striving to bring to new birth the people in the community, within the area of the relationships, and in the church. Let me use another illustration. You may get into a business or get involved with some people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And soon you're working on Sunday and your testimony is being compromised because you'll take to a glass of this or that or the other that isn't quite correct. You'll start using language that isn't Christian language. I hate to use that expression because Christian is such an awful word these days in that people misuse it so much. But when you use expressions like, oh, geez, which is old Jesus, it's taking the Lord's name in vain. And so I find it difficult to deal with people because they get themselves into a rut of being away from the Lord Jesus. They come to some of the services, but only some, and they cut down as much as they can on their Christian thing, and they get very involved in all their business relationships and all their other relationships, but they cut back on the things of God. And I want to say this to you. We have to strive in prayer. Let's go to prayer and ask for those that are really not right with the Lord. Don't be frightened to say in a prayer meeting that you're praying for Mr. Such and Such and Mrs. So and So. We are so politically minded that we want to be so politically correct, and we mustn't say that somebody down the road is a failure in their Christian walk, and we must always encourage people. But there is a time when we should be saying, brother, sister, you are failing. And so I am striving on your behalf in prayer. And if it takes you 2 or 3 hours a day, strive in prayer for those that are stumbling. And there are people all around you stumbling. Watch so that you can pray. Get into prayer that ye may stand perfect and complete or filled in all the will of God. God requires this of us. You can read that in that same 12th verse. Epaphras was such a man, and he had such a burden for the people that he spent time in prayer. Hudson Taylor and Horatio Bonner, Andrew Bonner, these were men who urgently went before God in prayer. There was a man in Wales, Christmas Evans and Evan Roberts, Rhys Howells, spent time in prayer. Oh, that men would spend time in prayer. They would spend less time worrying and fussing. You see, it's very easy for me to say that, but I have to get to the place in my life where I can wrestle with the powers of darkness. In verse 13 we read, "For I bear him record," says the apostle, "that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea." And so on. This man was striving for these people, and he was wrestling with dark powers. That's what happens when you get to prayer, because in prayer you realize that you are wrestling not against flesh and blood, not the arguments. You know, we get into arguments. We get into massive discussions. We have to discuss our theology so that we're all on the same page, etc., etc., etc. But we really don't. And we should never get into those discussions until we have absolutely saturated ourselves with prayer. But we do. We wrestle with each other and not against the dark powers that are in this world and in the people. And we don't wrestle out the people that are suffering. There's a young man brought to Jesus, and the disciples were first with the boy, and for some reason they could not cast out this evil spirit, and Jesus came to them and he said, "How long have I to suffer this? How long must I suffer this?" What was he saying? don't you yet understand, disciples? You have to pray. This kind of thing goeth not out but by prayer and with fasting. And I hear people rushing to fast. That's because they're too fat. But to prayer? No. You see, it's prayer and fasting, not fasting and prayer. Get to the prayer and then consider the fasting. If the Lord is leaning your heart in the direction of fasting, then spend your time in prayer. Also understand that these people need to stand firm on Christ, the solid rock. Their feet need to be planted solidly upon the rock. Jesus used the illustration once of a house. He said one man built his house upon a rock, the another man on the storm. And when the rains came and the winds blew, the house that was in the sand just washed away, but the house that was on the rock stood. You will never stand in all the vicissitudes of life until you have come to the place where you are established in the Lord Jesus Christ upon the solid rock, in all the will of God. This is an important factor that you and I know, the will of God, the rich, gratifying insight into the spiritual matters of heart and mind. God will give it to you when you pray. Striving, we use a lot of energy. His energy working powerfully in me. A fanaticism amongst the Thessalonians. There was fornication and litigation amongst the Corinthians. There was vice and heresy amongst the Colossians. Fighting without and fears within, yet constrained by love because people prayed. Striving in prayer is listening to God, listening to God. And I say this carefully. We need careful planning, careful communication, careful giving right direction, even as the Apostle Paul did from prison, bidding defiance to Satan. Do you know how to defy him? Why, James says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You and I have to learn. How do we do that? We go to prayer. We go to prayer. And in that place of personal prayer, we find we can more easily personally witness. Living an exemplary life, even in great stress, pressure, and affliction, you can do it. You can do it. But you best spend time in prayer. When we spend time in prayer, the old hymn writer caught it in these words, take time to be holy, speak oft with thy Lord. Do you speak oft with your Lord? I know that it's difficult to find time in a day, but you will never mature into a full-grown saint. You will never perfect that salvation that has been so graciously given to you as the gift of God. It'll never happen to you until you recognize your own imperfection and reach for what alone is in Christ Jesus. I really don't need anything else. It doesn't matter what the preacher says or the missionary says or anybody else says. It matters what Jesus says. And when I become mature, that's all I require. The accolades of a congregation don't matter. The praise of man is of no account, so long as I'm in the place where Jesus is. And we need to be watchful in prayer. It is not easy to guard another person's soul. You see a person slipping into sin. Guard the person with prayer. They may resent your presence, your physical presence, but guard them spiritually. Our grandchildren are now coming into the age where they're going to college. We need to guard those children with prayer. Guard them. Watchfulness. Have a watchful attitude. Disciples failed to overcome because they had to go to sleep. We are to watch, seeing another hurt or slide. We're to weep over that person, not criticize that person. Damaged by sinning? Are you damaged today? Right now? Did you trip up? Were you tripped up? Or did you fall down the stairs and really bash yourself badly? Did you get yourself into some sort of sinful thing? Then you need to be in prayer, and the prayer needs to be with tears, and you need to repent. With the tears of repentance, you pray. I hope I'm not being overly boring to you, but I have to say to you, have thankfulness, express gratitude, born out of love. Lift up your hearts, filled with the grace, as it's poured out as an offering. Gently pour out your own heart before the Lord, and praise comes easier, and adoration will quickly follow suit. Follow the Lord Jesus and learn to pray. Let's do that right now. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that you will teach us how to pray. Keep us in prayer. Take away that critical spirit that bends and ruins our spiritual life with you. And Lord, will you please give us the sense to plead for the souls of men and women that we know, never mind those that we don't know. And we ask that your blessing may be upon us all who love you. Help us now. Make us spiritually prosperous as saints of the Lord Jesus. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.